with the Acts group. So last Wednesday we had the water baptism, and that just kind of that took upon its own movement of the Spirit over the waters. Isn't that funny? The Holy Spirit was always over the waters, hovering and over the face of the deeps. And there was a real sound being heard. And so just that activated the sound of the resurrected life or resurrection life. And it was, again, it just kind of took, it just, the wind carried and the voice started to be heard. And we really just, it was a night of declaration and prophetic voice. And then Sunday, we had Mother's Day. And it was quite an experience because when it was back in the nation's room, now we call the soaking room, for prayer, I had my mom with me and my grandson, and Richard had got a picture of my mom from her inheritance of being born in Shanghai, China, and her father and mother growing up, dad dying in Hong Kong and so forth, and mom being a missionary from America, and them meeting mom and dad in Shanghai, getting married, them being the two daughters born in Shanghai. And there was a trend that this Mother's Day, there was a shifting of that authority that she was sitting on the throne over to me. So I'm in prayer, and that's awesome. What I'm doing right now is I'm going to have us take a moment and go and look and open ourselves back up to Sunday morning. Because what I want, the key about everything is being able to hear the voice of God in anything.
Yeah.
Is that pretty good?
Yeah.
To be able to hear the voice of God in anything causes you to begin to see that He's always speaking, always talking, always revealing Himself. And we can become, about several years ago, about 20 years ago, the Lord gave me the greatest word that I taught one time and then lived it out for the rest of the time. And I called it the madness of the prophet. And the problem about the prophetic is that there came a day when a prophet named Balaam, who had a great place in God, but was attracted by the money and the opportunity that was being presented to him to go and curse Israel, and how he continued to maneuver himself past the God-given obstacles, and then it would seem like God was encouraging him to keep going, but then God would put another obstacle, but then it seemed like he kept going. And the madness of the prophet, as it's stated in Scripture, that it took a donkey to speak to him in a man's voice to finally stop him in his pursuit. And the point of the story of that teaching was that the prophetic is not a license to do, and revelation doesn't give you the right to advance. And if you resist the leading of the Spirit of God in the sound of the voice, you can maneuver your way around God-given obstacles until it takes you to your own destruction. And God allows you to experience that because He's not wanting robots. He's not wanting to turn us on and off and put us in our place and take us out of our place. He's wanting sons and daughters. And we have to discern and learn to hear the voice and recognize when we've pushed the voice too far, when we've made too much of something, or when we diminish it or despise it and give it no value, then it doesn't have ability to take root and carry us. So when I had done that teaching, I remembered it was so clear because for me, I saw, oh gosh, this is just so good. I don't want to have a donkey talk to me. But the truth is, I've had many donkeys have to talk to me. Many, many donkeys, you know, where you just come face to face with, you are so blinded in your pursuit because you've gotten your sight off of the one and only Jesus and all about Him, and nothing matters anyway. And it's all my eyes on Jesus, not on myself, and who cares where I am at the end of the day? So long as my eyes are still on Jesus, I'm happy. And you get moving, you got a pursuit, you got a plan, you got an opportunity, you're trying to move, and then bam, you just come into this place where God just has to say no. And at that point in time, it's so much more costly. And yet, it's just what happens. So to be able to hear God in everything. So when I'm in a meeting, when I'm in my prayer, when I'm at home, when I'm just driving in the car, I've got an ear to heaven. Just you know, and try to stay in a mindful state of worship and try to be listening and honoring and singing, praying. And you develop that through your concentrated times of prayer. You learn to extend them into your regular parts of your day. But when we then gather together in worship, I don't come with like, okay, I've got my part, let's get the worship over, or, you know, I've got assignments. Rarely am I that clear that my assignment is already so defined that I need to just stay focused. I usually am staying just as much open to the movement of the wind over the congregation and the sound of the people and the voice of the praise, because therein lies the completion of what God is bringing forth. Because he's not speaking to walls, he's speaking to hearts. And therefore, the hearts that he draws are the hearts he wants to talk to. So I might be excited about what he's talking to me. And he says, well, I don't really care tonight for you to talk about you. Talk about what I want to say to them. So here's the hearts that are here. And here's all of a sudden a movement toward the hearts that are here. Correct? Just the same is that when you come into a meeting or into a prayer service or into a worship word you can draw from the one ministering by your faith. You can begin to say, God, I really want to hear you tonight in this message. And I guarantee you that if your faith touches God's heart and you pull on that, the next thing you know, the one who's speaking will all of a sudden go off onto an example or an illustration or a place that they hadn't prepared. Because God said, oh, there's somebody that wants an answer, and here's an available donkey. Use them. All right? Because basically, we're all donkeys as far as educational level of our ability and God's ability. We're no closer than a donkey and God talking through us. So, you know, so therefore, we begin to feel that pull, too. And that pull is something God wants to honor, wants us to respond to. So, tonight we get to use last Sunday morning as an example of just kind of like how do you move with that? Because I really believe it's not what you hear me say, it's not what you hear your neighbor say, it's what you hear God say. And if you can hear God say or speak, then you will always be in union with him. And if you're in union with him, you'll have that righteousness, peace, and joy, and love. And if you've got that, then you're pretty well just can stay really centered. And no matter where you're being carried through, there's a centering that allows you to go, okay, I know what I'm on assignment on. So what I want to bring up to, I'm going to show a clip of the five prophecies that came in during the service. But before I do that, let me just bring you up to where I was when that prophecy came. So I'm in the prayer room, and Richard had this vision. My mom's there, and my mom prayed me into the kingdom, and this was very prophetic, and she gave her testimony. You know, right now she's got, has a, you know, dementia, so she doesn't have her memory like she had before. So, but she did tell and share the testimony with the ladies at a retreat many years ago, and it's fascinating. Marilyn always wanted to make a movie out of it. But, so there's something of real heritage and real connectivity. So I'm receiving. So I don't want to go and say, well, wait, what? First thing you do in the prophetic is don't try to analyze it too soon. Just let it happen. Amen. Then process it. If you analyze it or hang up on a jot and a tittle, you'll miss the moment. And the moment is what Brian did. The Brian brought a message that morning. It was just phenomenal about the Holy Spirit's coming up under and reminding us. I was thinking you were talking, what I was thinking of was the whole ability to plant into our thoughts that become ours again by the Holy Spirit's ability. And it was just so you're listening with a yieldedness. You're not being, you know, blinded to reasonability, but you're not trying to reason while he's talking. You ever talk to somebody and you're having a conversation and you're trying to share your point and they don't have a desire at all to hear your point? They're just getting a retort to your point. Have you ever been there like that? That's not conversation. That's just going, well, no, that's not. Right. I used to do that. I used to come and say, I know where the scripture they're going to. I got there faster. That's not true. It's called disputing. And the Bible talks about in the last days there'll be disputers of this age. It'll really grow. In the prayer room, I'm receiving, wonderful, awesome. Come into the sanctuary, and we're just worshiping. And I have a message, I know where I'm going, I've been meditating on it. It's all in there. Largeness of the sound, loss is gain. The whole idea of Ruth, Naomi coming back home into Bethlehem and said, don't call me Ruth Pleasant anymore. Call me Bitter Mara, because I left full and came back empty. That's how God treated me. And the whole idea that when loss is incurred in our life, it will shut down our ability to perceive inheritance. We'll lose the value of our inheritance, the value of our relationship, and we'll not perceive anything other than the loss of it. And it takes someone like a Ruth that can say, I've gone through loss too, I lost my husband, but I see something that's I'm going to continue to pursue, and I'm going to connect to you to pursue it. And so I had all these things, but we're worshiping, and Richard had come back and said, I feel like God's doing a transfer. This is not just what you saw. He's doing it for the whole congregation. It's time for inheritances to transfer. So I'm in worship. I'm going, okay, that's good. That's really good. Then Russell comes and says, I've got a word. And I said, Russell, tell me what it is, because I know kind of now what's happening, because in between Richard sharing and Russell, and again, Richard, Russell, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, there's times people meet me in the hallway and say hello, and man, my week was this, and I hear the voice of God just as strong there as I do somebody coming and say, I think this is what the Lord's saying. Just, do you follow me? You keep listening. So I'm with Russell. What is that? I feel like I see the Lord crying, and he's crying in worship over us because it's something so heartfelt. And I'm going, wow, this is really, now I'm fitting this into bigger context. I know, Cammie and I know, historically, for us, in our limited observation, is that the older the mothers get, the more Mother's Day is not something they really cherish, because it carries with them bittersweet, sorrow and joy, discouragement, hopelessness, failure, what if, could have, should have. And so it kind of pulls up memories that have not yet fully been released, resolved, healed, and it just kind of creates this kind of, you know, kind of like every Sunday I'm fine because I am in my place as a daughter unto the King, but today I'm as a mother, and I have still places that I don't know how to reconcile this, so I don't know how to release myself back in worship. So you feel this kind of connectivity. Cammie usually will come up so graciously and say to everybody, we all have these feelings about how mothers are done and didn't do and we didn't do, and it's an awful day because you, and she'll personalize it so that everybody can go, ah, yeah, that's how we feel. Okay, now let's go back on to living for Jesus. And life can go. But this time in the worship, Diana got in and she starts singing this song of unto the Lord. And the congregation starts collecting themselves into that sound. Do you remember that? Those of you who weren't, you can see it online, but we start collecting ourselves into this spontaneous song from the bride to the Lord, to the Lamb. And you can feel the weight of the song because it's coming from the point of loss. See, the kingdom is not measured in gain, it's measured in loss. It's not increased through investment, it increases through divestment. So the what we lose is actually what God uses to release the kingdom in the earth, and the value then is placed on where we are in reference to what we have suffered or lost or journeyed through, and then we return to the Lord with full heart of worship. It's like, whoa, the Father values that because he knows what you walk through. It's more, do you understand what I mean? So there was a depth in this song. I could see it, the picture, the vision that Russell had. So I said, come on up, we'll do that. Cammie gets back from the dance time and the worship, and I said, Cammie, I don't know that, you know, I'm going to bring you and my mom up, but I don't think you'll necessarily need to greet anyone today because I think we're going to be props. Holy Spirit's got some things to say. She's fine. So we're up, and then we have Richard, Russell, then Diana, then Becky, and Gino. Five prophetic words. And they all are connective. They're connected to each other, and they're all unique. Now, here's what I want to say as you listen to this for maybe the first time or the second time. When a person prophesies, they prophesy through their instrument. They prophesy through their instrument. They carry their own sound. Do you understand? I mean, when we first learned to prophesy, we always knew one thing you had to do when you prophesied. At the end of whatever you said, you had to say, "Thus saith the Lord," because that's how you knew it was really God. That's silly, right? But that's how you did it back in the 70s. "Thus saith the Lord." The Lord would say, you know, and then you got the thous and the shalls and shouts, and you just made it more, and he got louder and more demonstrative. But those are human traditions of trying to make a greater emphasis. Paul Kane, one of the, you know, foremost prophetic giftings in the 20th century, certainly he'd say to everybody, he says, "Don't go and say, 'God said,' say, 'I feel like God's saying.'" It just gives graciousness for the sound to be heard versus being immediately refuted. So Cleo, for me, was prophesying on his bass tonight. But he's prophesying with the licks he carries. And so if he was to prophesy with words, they would feel like his bass playing. That there would be a feeling that would flow in the feeling of Cleo. If Diana prophesied, it's going to flow through who she is in all that she is, from a mother to a worshiper to Puerto Rican. Do you understand? You've got to have the, God doesn't, you could tell one thing when we're learning prophetic is that the humanness of us is kind of like, you know, pale. It just, we're trying to just be a robot sound. And yet when we become comfortable, the thing about God is he's so comfortable when you're God conscious that you're not conscious of yourself, so you become very much yourself. You become very much yourself. If you're bossy, you sound bossy in a prophecy. If you're consoling, you sound consoling in your prophecy. If you are a truth bent, you're truth minded in your prophecy. It's just more of, and even that's why it says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, and let the prophet prophesy according to the proportion of their faith. And those, when we prophesy, we have to kind of have an awareness of, okay, I got to stay in the the boundaries that God has given me to bring his voice forward. So you recognize, well, I'm getting in the flesh there. Well, how can you get in the flesh if you're prophesying? The force of the energy of the flesh starts to push. And I want you to really know what I'm telling you is really God. Now, that's a push to try to get somebody to receive. Now, there's a time God could sound it just as sharp and just as loud, and it totally be God. So you can never just go, that guy's in the flesh, because the donkey was in the flesh, and Balaam still had to hear him. Do you understand? So I believe, for me personally, and why we try to be a church of light, and therefore very much illumination and sound and the voice of God, that we have to be a church high in love, because we have to cover the multitude of sin, and we can't go into that vein of going, okay, well, wait a minute, that couldn't be, that won't be, that never will be, that none of it can be. Do you follow me? So just let's just walk through these five, and just we'll take a listen, watch, and then we'll go back and kind of wrap it up. And while you're listening, don't so much try now to go, okay, I want you to listen to what God's saying to you. Try to just hear, and how you tell what God's saying to you is what causes a stirring, what causes a lifting, what causes a sense of hope or faith or encouragement or connectivity. Boom, I connect to that. And then after that, we'll talk about how to let that sound grow after you've heard it sound initially. So go ahead when you're ready.
You know, I was going to say,
it's my mom on the left.
You can be seated. Richard, come on up, and Russell, come on up too, because there's a moment of the Spirit moving. But I was going to say that probably not all mothers get the same response or the opportunity, but then the Lord said immediately, no, all mothers do. And so what I want to say is my mother birthed me into the earth, and prayed me into the kingdom.
Amen.
That's a Selah. Think about that. When it'll keep going when it's ready. Now, even that was a moment. You know, my mom is so distinct in my memory as the one who prayed me into the kingdom that I thought, well, this is not the chance. Not all mothers get to do that. That thought's going through my mind about to present it to you. And the Lord said, no, that's not at all true. Every mother gets to do that. Every mother carries their child long, always in their prayers into the kingdom. And so it was like, oh, okay. Then whatever you think, Father, is more important than what I think. Do you feel, you see how that you would see that? I could, yeah. You just let the sound adjust you. So that you're staying in tune with the master instrument, then you can be able to flow with whatever is coming. So if we get that going, we'll get in it.
Mothers, you'll all bring your children into the earth, and all will have a great say in their destiny, to call them into the kingdom. So, but what happened? Russell, just share what you saw in worship, and then I'm gonna let Richard share what happened in the worship too. This is something really beautiful happening. Are you okay to just go with God? I have a great message, but I'd rather hear his. So we'll just let Holy Spirit have access.
Aren't those two beautiful women right there next to me?
So during worship, I just...
I'm a mother.
Cammy's a mom. Get on. We'll get you in front.
I stopped singing for a while just to get quiet and just to reconnect with the Lord. And I heard him just say, I love you so much. But normally when I stop and just to connect with him, I see just a huge grin on his face, just the biggest smile ever. But this time it was different. He was just sobbing. He was weeping. And it took me by surprise. And so I asked him, I was like, are you crying, Lord? Why are you crying? And then I looked and I saw, and I just saw him receiving all the worship from the entire congregation and just how much it was moving his heart. And then for the rest of the worship time, he wasn't even saying anything. He was just weeping. Like how he says, his heart is ravished by just a single glance of his bride's eyes. And so, like, the songs that he was receiving, like, his heart was just ravished. He was sobbing, couldn't even control himself. So.
Yeah, yes, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, Russell. Thank you, Russell. When we were in, why don't you explain what you saw in the prayer room, and then go ahead.
When I went into the prayer room to pray today, and I was praying, praying for Steve before the services, I saw his mother sitting on a throne, and he was in his own chair. And the Lord said, I'm going to transfer that throne, which is connected with the lineage of your life in China, over to Steve. And when I prayed, Steve felt the chair underneath him spiritually go out and the other chair come in underneath him. And then the Lord said to me, tell him now this is going to open up China. This is prophetic. It's going to open up China for his work and for the church. And then we were out here worshiping, and I was sitting down over there, and the Lord said, you don't understand. This is Transfer Sunday. This is Transfer Sunday of what the mothers and fathers have to transfer unto people in this church for the ministries you have to bring souls to Jesus. Even gifts that have been dead in your family were never passed on from your mother or father or relatives. The Lord is going to bring them into your life for one reason. It's time for the harvest.
Yeah.
You want to pray this or me?
You go ahead. You go pray. You pray. Stay in the moment.
Let's stand up together.
You can receive this very prayer going on. I didn't say stand in the moment. I say stay in the moment.
You following this idea, the transference, and the fact that all things are set in inheritance from Christ's foundation, so things that are just interrupted or stopped God can step in and on moments of time declare and decree that it's shifting back into the order and design that heaven put it into. And we can receive what has not yet been given, that we didn't obtain. We can release, we can call forth. So I'm standing. There's something really strong going, and I've got a word that came after I heard that. So open your spirit so you can begin in the spirit right now.
My children, my spirit moves in this place. My spirit begins to move, whirling and whirling and whirling and whirling. As I begin now, as your God and your King, as I begin now to transfer authority, transfer dominion, transfer what I have given to others to govern your lives, that have watched over you and cared for you and raised you and made you become what they have, even what they didn't know that they had, I'm going to transfer today. And so I say to you now, through the power of my spirit that begins to move, begins to hover over the earth, where all your family is, and where you even don't know where things are, and even where in heaven now, my spirit is beginning to take and to give and to give and to take into your lives, to transfer what you did not even know you had, or what you knew your relatives had, into you for my work that is ahead. And then I say at the same time, because I am the sovereign God, I call the gifts back from those who have gone before you. The gifts that your family lost, not just spiritual gifts, but physical blessings, physical things in your life that should have been, that haven't been. I say I call them back from those that say they are dead. And I say they are alive. They are alive in me. They are alive in you now. I say now, my spirit deposits these things within you now. Within you now. Within you now. Within you now. And now there is a sovereign decree to be said from my throne.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. 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 Papa ha. This day, I have begotten you. As I said to my son in hell, as I birthed him into the new lineage of the second and last Adam, I speak over this congregation, these hearts, those online, those listening, catching. This day, I have begotten you. I call forth resurrection life. I call forth what was set in motion, lost and stolen. I call it to restoration and redemption. I call forth the things that were given by my spirit in my son that I knew and foreknew and declared and decreed. I call it forth now. You shall receive. You shall see. You shall witness the sovereignty of the King now beginning to operate over every life in this house. The sovereignty of the King Jesus, your Lord, your bridegroom. He shall set in order things that have been out of order and yet to be taken from you are about to be put in order and restored to you. Now, I say it now, this day, I bring these things forth, says the Lord. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, let's thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Woo-hoo. You may be seated.
That's the third prophecy. Just keep it rolling. When Diana gets up, I'll make sure we all get to listen. That word about the resurrection life had become really awakened last Wednesday night at the baptism. And the whole concept of this day I have begotten you, being what God birthed Christ out of hell with, the sound of the begotten and that sound. And so when Richard had, before he started, he said, I think you're going to close this. He didn't say it on the microphone, so I was aware. So I was the third prophecy. Anyway, when that happened, given that charge here, you prophesy at the close here or make a decree, and I'm waiting on the Lord pulls from what he's saying because he's not changing his conversation week to week. Do you follow me? He's building a sound. Okay, so let's let Diana continue. Does that fall? You make sense? A conversation in heaven is continually building to release the fulfillment of what it's being birthed in its infantile moment. So it grows in its, and as prophets prophesy or people speak, what you'll start hearing is the sound being said another way and another way and another layer and another dimension, another sound, and it starts to cause the fullness of sound, which is when the fullness of time came, the Word, Jesus, became flesh. So those moments of in a service, moments in a season, we're in a season that's very clear. Jordan was just with us on the Sunday, the Wednesday after Cindy had spoken, not in the conference, but feeling like the mantle of Elijah was falling down and it was time for us to grab it. So now all of a sudden Richard's saying 2 weeks later, hey, guess what? The inheritances that were to be given are being given. Those that we have to give, we can release. Those that have been lost are going to be gathered. So what God is saying is it's, you know, be collecting, be connecting, be drawing in there. And so now Diana gets up and we'll go with that. There you go.
There we go. If all of you would just take your hand and place them, even if you're a man, where your womb would be. As Richard was saying, this is Transfer Sunday. I felt the Lord saying, as I transferred my seed into Mary's womb, I have transferred my life into each and every spirit womb of you, my bride. And his pastor's mom gave him life and prayed him into the kingdom. I feel the Lord saying, bless the life I have placed in you and call it forth. Partner with me to release the seed I have planted in you and give it life and release it today. Release the life that is in you today. Release my seed and let it bring forth great life.
And I got during worship, and I really do thank the worship team for just allowing yourselves to be empty and letting the Lord come in and sing over us. But I got during that time, I saw a vision, and the Lord said to tell his church that the transference, you'll receive it now. Things that had been held up or lost or delayed or things where you were stuck, there's the cog has been removed. But it's more than that. He says there's a destiny for my church. That he's calling us to a unity of oneness like we've never known before, not by our own strength or what we want or don't want. The Lord's bypassing all of this. There's a transference of much more than stuff. Although we want stuff, and he's going to give us stuff. But there's much, much more. There is a destiny that we have. And the vision that I saw during worship was, I saw Jesus as we started worshiping him, and I saw him sitting there, but I really just saw him, and his body was total light, and it was pulsating. It was alive. I said, Lord Jesus, that's the most beautiful picture of you I've ever seen. And he says, what do you think my body is? That's what you see is the light. That's the pulsating aliveness in me. And he was twirling and dancing all around, just twirling and dancing. And like Russell, I saw tears coming from his eyes as he was dancing. And he says, I've been waiting for this. Yes, and he says, you, my bride, will come as one, and you'll be so pure like gold, and you'll be so light like no light you've ever seen. You yourself, it's not that you're looking at the light. You are becoming light, and you are becoming one with him and therefore each other like never before.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen.
Come here, Pastor. You're so strong up here. I want to say it, and I just want to declare it very simplistically, what I heard as Rich and Pastor And it, Pastor Brian, it ties into the word you released this morning. If you guys get a chance, get a hold of Pastor Brian's word this morning. What I literally saw in this moment was confirmed with what Becky said, but there specifically for what I saw was there were some transfers being made in the natural over many bank accounts in this house. I saw deposits being made into accounts. I saw God's people, some of you listening, some of you maybe watching, that have been held up in legal battles or conflicts dealing with finance or money. Something that has been unjustly, unduly taken away or lost. And I saw things being released in the natural. And I sat there and the Spirit of God said that there'd be some of you, even today or tomorrow, Monday morning, would begin to check your bank account and there'd be wire transactions that have taken place in your bank account. Church, just receive it so strong right now. They're literal deposits and wire transfers taking place into bank accounts right now, all over the web, all throughout this house. Monies that have been stopped up are being released right now. Father, I declare right now by the authority that you've given me, I declare now, give up. Give up. Lord, I thank you for release over this house. Yes. I thank you for transfers. You said it, transfers. You said deposits into bank accounts right now. Monies that have been owed that have not been paid. I say be paid now. Wire transfers from other countries coming to family members. I declare I pull on inheritances now that have been lost or stolen or misplaced. I declare now by the authority given over this house and through me, Father, and now in the name of Jesus, we receive now all that is due, all that is due, all that is due. I just see it in right now in the spirit that's due now. It's due now. It's due now. I see the words paid in full. Paid in full, paid in full, paid in full. God, you're so good. It's so you're so strong right now, God. The pictures of your weeping and your tears, it's the compassion. It's the heart of God over this house and over us. The unity of the Spirit that we see and we feel. We bless you, Lord. We thank you.
Yeah.
We thank you. We say you're good.
You're so good. You're so good.
Father, would you take the word that is in this apostle, this pastor, and release it now? We bless you, Pastor. We bless you. I pull on the word that was released before the service that in this season, this house, and folks all across the web and all across the world will begin to come under in submission to what your call is, Pastor Steve, what your vision is, what your ministry is. And we would lay our ministries and our hearts and our pocketbooks down and come alongside you and say, how can we support you? How can we sow into you? How can we give to you? How can we write checks? How can we give ourselves our ministries, our gifts, our talents to this house, O Jubilee? We bless you, Pastor Steve. We bless you. We bless you. We come alongside of you right now. We undergird you. We link arms right now in the Spirit. We bless you. We pull on that word that Rich released through your lineage and say, how can we now come alongside of that? As God opens up the doors to the nations, we bless you.
Yes, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. That's the part I always get very uncomfortable with. If someone's prophesying to me about some place in the kingdom I'm supposed to hold, and so then I'll get self-conscious. But at the same time, it's like when we finish the prophecy, then where, just so you know, where if you were here, you were there, and if you're not, you could watch it. We wanted to connect the body again to that we're going into the Word, and how do we now, because a lot of times you can get disconnected through those moments. So I then shared the testimony of going to Hong Kong and the experience at where my grandfather had been, had his memorial service, the bank he had served in, and so that there was a bit of context to the content. And God's always looking to bring context to the content. Because a lot of times things that are said, if you don't have the context, you dismiss it before it could be received. And then to broaden it so that it wasn't just about me, this whole thing was about every one of us carries the same story, same lineage, same place of inheritance, some place where it has been disconnected, being brought in, and so forth. And then I showed the word that had given, that had dropped in my spirit, which is in 1 Kings 1. Kim had a word. I'm going to run out of time if I read what Kim had a vision while Diana had been worshiping of him being held as a little baby in his mother's arms and watching this season of maturity and the vision of seeing Jesus and just a real connectivity. I wish I could read it. I will read it now that you all want to know what I said. Let me find it real quick. But there's just stuff. What happens is once the Spirit of God begins to hover, he quickens alive you. A prophet comes into Jubilee Church, they read the words of God that are over the house of God, and they begin to prophesy accordingly. And so we hear the same thing again and again with greater faith and greater clarity. When the prophetic sound begins to move, it awakens the sound of God inside of you, and you begin to hear the voice of God come back alive. And so the reason we desire the prophetic is so that we can keep, the voice of God can keep quickening within us and not being suffocated by circumstances and stuff of life. And the reason you want to hear the voice of God in the prophetic is it isn't so much the verbatim of what's being said or the style it's being said, it's what you're hearing God say to you while it's being said. Do you follow me? So Kim has this on Mother's Day. I was attending morning service at my church. The worship time had started, and the leading songs were focusing on the Father's love for us. During the second song, I began to see a still vision of a young mother holding her newborn child. I perceived that the child of only a few months was me. As I watched, this first picture faded into the next. I now beheld my mother's face. That was all that I could envision, just her face. And she was staring deeply into my eyes. I was one of those bonding moments that mothers have with their children. Lastly, my mother's face slowly faded into the final picture that I saw, which was interesting, was the eyes, that her eyes did not change at all. Yet as the last vision formed, I found myself staring into the captivating eyes of my Savior, with the tenderness of Jesus now flooding my soul. I recalled a passage from the book of Isaiah 46:3. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. The Father's intention has always been to begin demonstrating his love for us through our parents. My vision did not show him observing me from over my mother's shoulder. Instead, he chose to enter into the experience by flowing through my mother as she offered her unconditional love and tenderness for me. And this demonstration of love continues to touch me today. His tender care for me will continue, as verse 4 promises. Isaiah 46, I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Thank you, Kim. That's beautiful. So, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now here, let's make application. The listening ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them. So he knows how we see and how we hear. And he knows, and we learn the tenor of his sound of his voice and how he speaks. And as we grow in the sound of his voice and the resonation coming alive, we have to capture it. Some people are good at capturing because they go, wow, that's really, I want to get that a second time. Like Diana, by the time she was here today this afternoon, she says, I've already gone online and listened to the prophecies 2 times. What I've learned in life that I miss, my big mistake is I hear something and I go try to do it, which is super stupid. Because at first I didn't really hear it, and second, I really cannot do it. So I would just fail, and then I would just stop be dejected and wait till another moment of inspiration and start over again. Here, do, here, crash, do. What I've learned to do is hear and worship with what I hear and offer it back to God and ascribe to him who he is in what I heard. And knowing that only he can do what he says. I cannot do what he says, but if I as I grow in what he said, the faith will allow him to do what he said. So I worship. So in that that knowledge, I made it a more and more of a discipline to pause after events like this and say, Lord, what were you saying in what you were, when all of that, what was the sound of your voice to me and your voice to our body? And how do I now worship you with that sound? That's where sometimes watching something a second time, that's why we've started transcribing the message on Sunday morning, or at least bringing the essence of it onto the secret place, as ways to let the faith keep coming by hearing and hearing, or seeing and seeing, and consolidating until it becomes just a simple word or simple name or simple sentence you can have. So a thing to do while we're going to close is tomorrow, take a few minutes, if you can, take a few minutes to sit down and just bring yourself into the presence of the Lord, do how you bring yourself before him. And once you're aware that you're standing in his presence or before him, say, Father, Holy Spirit, I want to enter again into what you were saying, and I want to record for me what you're saying to me. And then allow the Holy Spirit to bring you back to your remembrance. You can watch it online in that same moment, but you can do it just in your place of sitting, because the Holy Spirit's a reminder. He comes up under and begins to bring the word forth. As he does, just let it be the sound he's making to you, for him, through you. And then write it down. And you can even write it down by points, outlines, thoughts. You can even prophesy. Not what you let the Holy Spirit start to prophesy. This is what I'm doing. And capturing the largeness of the picture, letting it become a very specific, a personal word, and then letting it become something you reference back to for a season so that it can grow in you. Do you follow me on those thoughts? It is what Brian, everybody keeps saying, go to the morning, 9 o'clock service. It's what Brian pointed out about Mary, that she kept hiding everything in the heart, even though the word of God took over her life. And a lot of us are right now in junctures where our world is changed because of the word we heard many years ago. And we have no grid on why our world has gone the way it went. But if we could have the Spirit of God give us clarity to back to what he said and bring us his revelation of the journey, we would understand that it isn't as Naomi sees it, to go out full and come home empty, but it was to go out full of self and be emptied so that God could do something for himself far greater. And beloved, I want to say this by the Spirit. This is not about you and me getting a better life. This is about God having his way in the earth. You empty so he can have his way. You get rid of, our dreams are lost, but he has a dream to be fulfilled. And in the fulfillment of his dream, we will find identity and value, and all of the answers of our life will come back to us in solid, in wonder. But it isn't through him making good on what we lost. It's on him becoming what we lost. Do you follow me in that? So I bless you. I bless you, Jubilee. I bless you online. Yes, God knows you're online. So if he says, even you online, yes, he knows you're online. Okay, so I bless every one of you, all of us, to hear the voice of God in a clarity and simplicity and strength and beauty in the manifold layers and dimensions and unveilingness of God and Christ growing up inside of us and the voice of God coming forth for us and the inheritance of heaven being brought forth into the fulfillment inside of his church. I bless everyone to hear the tender voice of God and to be able to recall and to begin to build and to meditate and allow it to grow until it becomes that mighty mustard tree that bears much fruit and gives gives protection for many birds. Bless us, Lord, as we go out. Bless the body. Bless Jubilee. May we be a house of high illumination and greater love. So much love that we can all prophesy and all mess up and still all come into the fullness of what God's saying. Let it be, Lord. Father, glorify your name. Glorify yourself. Take where we have been journeyed to and now begin to consume it for yourself, for your glory, for your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, everyone. Thank you so much. I hope this was helpful.